Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Acts 3. Acts chapter 3. Story about Peter and John going up to the temple to pray. Starts off in chapter 3. Says, now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, and asked alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes upon him, with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for this miracle. Lord, it shows us many things about the power of God. And Lord, it's a testimony tonight of what we ought to do and how it is to be saved. And God, we'll give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Sin damages our lives and condemns us in eternity. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This man lived in a beautiful surrounding. I can see the gate there. I can see the temple, white and gold trimmings on front. And, you know, we live in a beautiful world. I woke up the other morning and looked outside, and it was sunshiny and beautiful, and I wondered what that big sunrise was. I hadn't seen it in a while. It was such a beautiful, and Rhonda always says, look at those clouds, how beautiful they are. We have a beautiful earth. We're surrounded by the sunsets and the things in life. I see when I come around the corner every morning, this beautiful building sitting here, and the big stained glass window out front there. It reminds me of all the blessings that God has given us. This man was lame, the Bible says, from birth when he was born. We all have sin nature. We're that way from birth. He was poor, and we are poor spiritually. He was outside the temple, and we're outside when we're born of God's fellowship. And this passage of Scripture, this healed man is a perfect example of what it means or what it is to be saved. Now, in the story, we have Peter and John. They were on their way to the temple to pray at the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the evening. And at one of the gates, there was this man. He was sitting there and he was begging. He was lame, the Bible says, from birth, and he is asking for money. Now, that is exactly the church's commission is all about. As we go, we ought to make disciples out of people. Matthew tells us, as we go, whether it's in your work area, whether it's at, for the young people, be at school or at the grocery stores, wherever we might be, at home or at work, we are to make contact with people. We come into contact with the poor, spiritually crippled lost people. Every single day, there's people without God and without hope. I've got a funeral tomorrow, and I was reading the obit this evening, and I didn't know the lady. They just called and asked me to do the service if I would, and I said yes. And I went down after church today and got the obit and asked them. It's a beautiful obituary, but nowhere in the obituary does it say anything about Jesus Christ, the church, or her life in Christ. And it's so sad when we realize that there's so many people out there that are lost without Christ. They just don't have anything to do with Christ. You can live a beautiful life and not put Christ in it. And at the end of that life, that's all you have. No hope. No hope, just judgment. And the Bible tells us we're like Peter and John. As we go, we're to make contact with people and tell them about the judgment and about Christ and how to overcome, how to be born again. Well, you got to make contact with people. And then something I noticed that we don't have a whole lot nowadays is sensitivity. Sensitivity to people's needs. The man asked for money. They stopped. I noticed today when most people come up and they ask for money, we try to get out of there as quick as we can because we know that they're going to want money from us. Well, they stopped and they looked at him. And the Bible says they got his attention, they made contact, and they had compassion on this man. I wonder today, do we really see lost people? Do we really see lost people? Do we really care about the people that we come into contact with that are lost? You know, we have, be the first to meet the needs of anybody that's a physical need. You let a family come without food, well, we can raise all kinds of food to give people. You can let them be without heat in a cold winter, and you see it every winter. For Christmas, there's all kinds of toys taken up to give to the poor. And those without heat, and in the summertime, they raise money for fans to put into homes that they don't have to fool with all of this, the hot heat, Texas heat. But you let someone be lost spiritually and ask someone to go and talk to them about Christ, and we won't do it. We won't do it. Just about everybody will give to a sickness and a financial need. But when a person is lost, we fail to witness to them about Christ. I like this old gentleman. I've got a lot of his books in the office. Vance Havner. He says, we're not just in the uplift business, we're in the new life business. We need to bring life to these people that are lost. And to do that, we need to be sensitive to their needs, to be sensitive to that lost condition and have compassion. Too much of what we do. Someone said this one time, it's not original to me. Maybe Vance Havner that said it in one of his books. But he says, we're in the soup and soap business instead of the salvation business. And we need to be in the salvation business, telling people about Jesus Christ. So we have to ask ourselves, as churches all over, last week I told you that so many never had a single conversion. Do we really care about lost people? Do we really share? There's an old song, do we really care? You know, people often ask me if there's anything they can do at the church. And I usually tell them we can all pray. And I appreciate that. I appreciate your prayer for me. But, you know, I said you can also go out and visit someone. You don't have to have permission. Knock on their door, especially if they're members and they haven't been here a while in your Sunday school class. Write them a letter. Make contact with them. Let them know that we really care up here. If you're not in church, we miss you. So many miss week after week after week, and nobody ever calls, nobody ever goes by, and they never have a contact. And first thing you know, they're out of church. We need to have a contact, and we need to have compassion, like Paul and John here. And then there's the confidence we see in verse 6. With confidence, being born of faith in God, Peter said, "We don't have silver or gold, but in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." Now, folks, that's holy boldness, isn't it? That's a very holy, bold thing to do. Friends, Paul said the gospel of Christ in Romans 1:16 is the power of God unto salvation to all who will come. Now, if we're ever going to rid this community or this world or this county of alcohol in the homes, we've got to get the word out that it damages our lives. You see, if we're ever to bring hope and despair at a funeral like I'm going to tomorrow, we've got to let them know that there's a better lifestyle than the one they're living. If we're ever to reach a lost person and pull them out of the pits of hell, we've got to let them know about Jesus Christ. Some way, somehow, let them know that they can be forgiven. You see, a lot of people want to know that God does love them and they can be forgiven. You see, they don't know that He died for our sins. They don't know that He has the power over sin. They don't know that He rose from the grave. They've been told many different things. They need to be told about Jesus Christ. And that is exactly what the disciples preached. They preached Christ. In Corinthians, I believe it says, they preached Christ that He died and rose again. Folks, we need to preach that. We preach a lot at Easter, but we need to preach that with our going out and telling people about Jesus Christ. So we have contact. We need to make contact with people. We need to have a compassion for people. And we need to have a confidence in Jesus Christ that if we tell people about Him, God can and will save them. You know, when you witness to somebody, do you really believe that God can change their life? Man, we need to be convinced of that. We need to know that. And then there's the conversion. This man put his faith in what Peter asked him to do. He was willing in his faith, in his life. Maybe he had heard about Jesus at the gates. I don't know, but Peter took him by the hand and pulled him up. And the Bible says immediately his feet and ankles became strong and he began to walk. Now, friends, that's God's power. And not only that, that is a lift that will last for all eternity. You see, when I get together with some of our minister friends, we have conversations like this. People always want to know about, if I was saved once, am I always saved? Now, I guess they want to know, if they do something wrong, they'll still have eternal life. Well, I believe that when God saves a person, that is a complete work. He doesn't have to do anything else. I believe once you're saved, you're always saved. And then they ask, well, what about so-and-so? They never come to church. They're living in the world. Well, you know, I don't know. I'm not the one who saves people. I don't know if they were really ever saved. But, you know, if you're really saved and you invite Jesus Christ into your life, man, I believe He changes a person. And most of us agree that it's not, you know, some people will say, well, when he was first saved, he was jumping here and jumping there. It's not how high you jump. I've always heard it's how straight you walk when you come down. Folks, we need to see people as Jesus sees them, lost, and have a confidence in their conversion that when Jesus Christ does a work in our life, man, they're saved, and we will live the Christian life because of the new birth that we have in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but when I was born again, we've all messed up. We all make mistakes. We all sin. But, you know, we ought to be growing every day in our life, in our Christian walk, and overcoming. I believe we're overcomers in Christ. And I believe when we do something, we don't just mess up. We sin, we confess that sin, and God picks us back up. Oh, and that walk becomes stronger every single day as we grow. We're becoming more like Christ. Praise God, I'm not like I used to be, but I'm still not what I ought to be. And God's working on me to make me one day what I ought to be. God does not do anything halfway. Man, I don't know. Somebody said, you know, those are good old boys. But I don't know about those good old boys so much, but I know what God did when he saved me. He changed me. Conversion leads to Christ. And not only Christ, but it leads to his work. You can do more than just, you can't just keep yourself saved no more than you can save yourself. But it's God who keeps us saved. You see, the Bible says, he who began a good work in you will keep you and bring it to completion until the day of Christ, until he comes. I believe that work of salvation that God did back in 1975 in my life, God has been working in me, and he's been keeping me, and he's bringing it out in me. You don't come to Jesus to see if he works. No, I believe you come to Jesus and see just how he does work in your life. I didn't get saved. Let's see how I want to say this. So that Jesus could just get me out of a mess. You see, I got saved to let Jesus work in my life, and I believe we need that. And if we do that, then we're going to follow his great commission. Look at verses 8 through 10. I didn't read down this far, I don't believe. Maybe I did. I can't even remember. Can't see it now. Pulled my glasses off. I can't see with them on up far away, and I can't see with them on until I get close. So, you know, I had those eyes worked on, and I thought I could see better, but the older I get, the worse they get. So you just in a catch 12 there. 8 through 10, look at what it says. Peter answered her. I turned the wrong page. See, two pages. Y'all, that's the first mistake I've made today. Okay, 8. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and what? Praising God. This man was made whole because he put his faith in God's work, in God's man there. And he was leaping. He was thankful to God. Man, I tell you what, when God saved me, I was so thankful to God. I didn't want to miss a Sunday. I didn't want to miss anything about Jesus Christ. All I wanted to do is tell people about Jesus Christ. I went and told my mother, I went and told my father, the Lord saved me. But once he was saved, this great commission became his commission, didn't it? And he went into that temple, and he was leaping and praising God, and they saw him there. And all the people saw him in verse 9, walking and praising God all his life. He had been a taker. All his life he had begged for men's money. But now that he received the new birth, the new life, the strength in his legs, he was a giver. And he wanted to give back, I believe. And that's the Christian life, folks. Once we're saved, we don't want to live for ourselves. We want to live for Jesus Christ. We ought to want to help others. So it shouldn't be a job to tell somebody. He's running and jumping and praising God. And the people in the temple are gathering by the thousands, I believe. And they're looking at him and they said, isn't this the lame man who sat by the gate begging? Let me tell you something. This man drew a crowd. That was the miracle that God wanted. They saw a lame man that had been sitting by the gate so long begging for money. Now these men of God have spoken in Jesus' name, and he was healed, and Jesus was getting the praise. Oh, and the Bible says the crowd came and Peter preached Jesus. All this happened because one man was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, do we really care? What keeps you from speaking about Christ wherever you go? I know some of you do. Some of you are always telling about Jesus Christ, what he means in your life. A Wednesday night, we were talking about Matthew. And I believe I left off in the last point of Matthew's life. We'll finish up that Wednesday night. But, you know, our salvation, our testimony ought to be what we were before Christ, what we are since Christ came into our life, and let people know about Jesus Christ in our life. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Friends, let God bless others through you. I was trying to think of a song, but I can't. It don't come to my mind right this time. Perhaps this man will never be a preacher. Perhaps this crippled man may never reach as many people as they did that day. He'll never be a Billy Graham. I may never be a Billy Graham and never be a W.A. Criswell. You know what? But one man, one person reaching out to a boy or a girl, a child, take them by the hand and share Christ with them and change that life for all eternity. You see, that's it. That's what it's all about. This little girl that came this morning, I don't know who led her to Christ. I imagine it came through the teaching of the Bible in our Sunday school. Or it could have come from the teaching of the Bible in Vacation Bible School. I know they brought her to church. She's heard the gospel over and over. But her mother said Thursday night, she said, I want to give my life to Jesus. And folks, that is what it's all about. Her life changed this morning and Thursday night for all eternity. She's in a different location now in her life. She'll grow to become what God wants her to be. We don't know. We don't know. It may be a missionary. I don't know. But you know what? God will work it out in her life. And every person that is born again, that passes through these doors, we have an opportunity to reach them for Christ. If you do, God will bless us in ways that you'll never know this side of heaven. Give people a lift that will last for all eternity. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for this wonderful story that is in the Bible of two men, your disciples, who changed their life because they weren't afraid to say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Lord, if there's here someone tonight that's without Christ, they don't know if they have salvation in their life. Lord, let them be sure tonight before it's too late. We give you praise and glory, and may we reach someone for Christ this week. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.